Coming glory. Coming glory. Brother Chris.
Thank you, Brother Frank. I'm sure that we can all testify that it was indeed good to have been here. The blessings of the Lord were indeed very rich. We would like to take this opportunity to thank each one of you, your presence, your love, and your prayers on our behalf and on behalf of all the brethren. I overlooked to give you a love that was requested by one of our newly consecrated brethren in our class, Brother Mark Allard. So accept the love that he sends with his fervent zeal for the Lord. Coming glory. This has been somewhat the theme of the convention. Each of the speakers have touched on those promised glories of the Lord. The Bible tells us, and it is prophetically true, that all things of the Lord have come as spoken through the prophet Daniel, the time of the end, of which we read in Daniel the 12th chapter. The Lord through the prophet outlining the thing that would take place, and in verse 4 he writes, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book, even to the time of the end." And then he goes on to tell us how that many would run to and fro. So we have for more than a century been living in what has been called prophetically the time of the end. This time of the end is also referred to as the day of God's preparation. Nahum, the 2nd chapter, verses 3 and 4. What does this mean? The time of the end. The day of God's preparation. Surely it is not the end of the world, as once we might have thought to be so. But this is not what the Bible teaches us. The time of the end is the time of the end of this present age. The end of the reign of sin and death. To you and I, it becomes a glorious prospect, does it not? A time when all the evil conditions that have oppressed mankind for 6,000 years, they will terminate with the great Sabbath day of rest. The golden age of blessings will be ushered in. And in some respects, we might say it is already being gradually ushered in. And so, naturally, we do ask, what is this world being prepared for? It is being prepared for the ultimate purpose of God, to which all the details of preparation are leading up to the establishment of the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of God. It is through the agencies of the kingdom of God that God will fulfill all his wonderful promises, which we have heard from this platform prior has made through Abraham to bless all the people of the earth with peace, health, and everlasting life. The blessings of the Lord were designed for all mankind, but have, because of man's ingrained selfishness, gravitated at the present time to just certain few, certain of the rich nations. And this has caused more or less pride on one side, while jealousy and envy on the other. Man indeed has become jealous and envious one of another. But the Bible tells us that God has made a bountiful provision for His blessings to all the families of the earth. We have that wonderful assurance, for God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son. And how glad this makes our hearts, those of us who have been anointed to see the beauty and the grandeur of God's plans and purposes. You and I also have the glorious privilege of being ministers or ambassadors of God, telling of all His wonderful mercies and favors that are planned for all the world of mankind. God has privileged you and I to become His co-workers, to proclaim the glorious message of the kingdom. And then when we are glorified, made into the likeness of our blessed Redeemer, then to share the great work of blessing the world of mankind as they walk up the highway of holiness. These thoughts are inspiring thoughts, are they not? They are comforting thoughts that lift us up above the present strife that we find ourselves surrounded in the world today. With the beautiful knowledge that man has, the wisdom of performing many wonderful things, yet, where can we find a man who is able to write such wonderful words of wisdom that we have heard from this platform, as spoken by the prophets of Solomon? Oh, what man with wisdom in poetry can today equal the writings of the beautiful Psalms of David? Surely we are not the most intelligent of all people, or of a superior capacity. This is only because of God that you and I are understanding these beautiful truths that we have and that we hold precious to us. God has been letting in the light of truth of this new dispensation. It is God's due time, and God already is performing many wonderful miracles, which He will in His due time bring about the fulfillment of His wonderful promises to us. Let us not suppose that the feeble man of man, as we see working today, has unlocked the secrets of nature, which have made possible what is taking place in the world today. Man has, within the past 100 years, seen great strides in progress. But only because it is God's due time that these things are to be known, He will permit man to discover only to a limited degree how certain secrets of creation can be used today. Man in his imperfect condition has accomplished much marvelous work. The speed of travel, in contrast with the horse and buggy days. The power of the nuclear energy. The computer age that we find ourselves at the present time. These have been marvelous works. But how much more marvelous shall their works be when they will be made perfect, when they are brought back into the image and the likeness of our God. Our minds can indeed be turned to the great God Himself, saying, if feeble creature can accomplish so much, such wonderful things in a fallen estate, who then can measure the power of God? Not only seeing how great and powerful He is, but how wise and how loving as well. And so as we think over what mankind has done in progress, realizing what God has done and what God will do, we remember the words of David, which have also been brought to our attention. How the heavens declare the glory of our God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. All that man has done or will do is merely copying the skills manifested by our great Creator in all His works. But as we consider what God has done, we indeed are more astonished. For there will never be a piece of machinery that will be as great as the piece of machinery as our human bodies. Yes, we each have this wonderful machine at our command. This machine of ours directs its own course. No man can make such a machine. Oh yes, we have the robot that performs many tasks. But the best we can do is to copy the works of our great Creator. At times, copying not too well. But working in harmony with the laws of God, and in harmony with His will, man was made indeed as an earthly image of the heavenly Creator. And you and I have this wonderful body, although it is considered dead, but yet the Heavenly Father has given it to us that we might use it, in order that the new creature might be come and made all glorious until the time He receives that heavenly body. We all have qualities that need cultivating. We each need to seek to develop these qualities more and more by God's grace. And as the great work of transformation progresses in our hearts and in our lives, we will then see more clearly what great blessings will come to the world of mankind when the principles of divine justice and love will operate everywhere. We often think of these beautiful words we find in the first volume when it says, love welling in every heart, meeting a kindred response. This will be the glory of the next age. You and I have a standard, which is a high standard set before us. And so let us take the high standard of divine justice to do to others as we would wish that they do unto us. And as the brother just before me mentioned, doing good unto all men as we have opportunity. Let us show God's character at all times in us, showing His justice, His sympathy, and His loving kindness, which Brother Leo brought to our attention. Let us have this character manifested in our own lives. Let us all be as burning and shining lights, glorifying our Heavenly Father. We find ourselves in a time of earth's greatest trouble. As the prophet Daniel, in the second verse of the 12th chapter, brings to our attention, in which the Master, in answer to the disciples, what will be the time of the end, speaks of the time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And he also said that because of the elect's sake, or for the elect's sake, because of these conditions, there would be no flesh saved. But how beautiful the Bible teaches us that man's extremity will become God's wonderful opportunity. After God permits man to have the blessings that we see of our day, and to allow himself to be dashed to pieces, to make what one might call shipwreck of civilization because of selfishness and her evil intent. But before the complete destruction of mankind, God, through His dear Son and His wonderful bride, will speak peace to the nations. And after the great time of trouble will come the calm after the storm. And Christ will take to Himself His great power and will establish His glorious reign. We thank the Lord for this beautiful truth that we have, and that by His wonderful loving grace, which He is working out in us, and through us the promised blessings, that we might have a share in the blessing of all the families of the earth. The question may be asked, what is the work that God is accomplishing in us? This has been brought to our attention. God is polishing, shaping, preparing us for that great future work. This is all done through the testings, through the trials, great and small, through the various opposition of the world, the flesh, and the adversary. And in many ways, these would work to our disadvantage when these trials come upon us. But the Lord so often overrules to our spiritual welfare and development. God has promised us that all things will work together for good to the called out ones according to His purpose, to those who are working and making the calling and election sure, and how we should, and I'm sure that we do rejoice in these precious promises, and as Peter speaks of them, the exceeding great and precious promises of the glory to come. And as the Apostle Paul tells us, that in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of His grace and in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Oh, how we will then rejoice And there are also the eternal riches of grace for all the world of mankind, all the willing and the obedient in the day of their visitation, which is near at hand. Seeing then all these manifestations and recognizing our wonderful great Creator as the source of all wisdom, power, justice, and love. These present blessings we see in our day have become to us as the finger post directing us to that great and wonderful work of our God. To His wondrous grace and the outcome of His marvelous plan of the ages as spoken to us in His holy word. But in spite of the wonderful body and the brain that man has, it is still very evident that so much is still to be desired for better functioning. For man is still a member of the sick and dying race. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:22 and 23, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, waiting for that glorious day." That glorious day when we shall see our Lord face to face and to be like Him. And thus it is that God's due time, yes, in His due time He will swallow up death in victory and will raise from the sleep of death all who have gone down into the tomb because of disobedience by Father Adam. We also note to this the suggestion of God's great joy in the matter, as well as His loving tenderness. When we read such beautiful words, "The Lord will wipe away all tears from off all their faces. The rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth." And what beautiful assurances we have in His wonderful word through the various prophets. "My word shall go forth. It shall not return unto me until it shall accomplish the purpose for which I have sent it. For the Lord hath spoken." We also read the words of the prophet Moses, "As truly as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of Jehovah." Numbers 14:21. We also have this beautiful assurance by the various other prophets in Isaiah 11th chapter, verse 9. What of the prophecy of Habakkuk, the second chapter, verse 14? "What a glorious lot is ours. The Lord bless each one of you, for we dearly love you."
Thank you, Brother Sam. And Brother Sam will close this service with prayer.
Divine and gracious Heavenly Father, with hearts filled with gladness, in reverence and in the precious name of our loving Savior, we desire to lift our heart to Thee with praise and thanksgiving for drawing us together to feast upon these exceeding great and precious promises. We indeed thank Thee for Thy loving kindness and the love of our loving Master. Help us to be worthy of this privilege that is ours to share with Thy dear Son Thy wonderful coming glory. We praise Thee, we thank Thee. We ask a blessing upon each heart bowed before Thee, upon all the dedicated ones, wherever they be, whatever their need be, granted accordingly to Thy great tender love and mercy. And we pray for that glorious kingdom in the outworking of Thy divine plan of the ages. In Jesus' precious name, amen.